Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 3rd February 2026, Zechariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah chapter 5, vision number 6 and vision number 7 of the 8 visions that Zechariah received. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer. Shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We realize, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Israel, My Glory, the January-February edition, has a very eye-opening article on Iran. And says, Iran opens new front against Israel. Now, you know this within, we know what's going on in Iran. There are people there trying to overthrow the Ayatollah Khamenei, the Muslim leaders of Iran, but they're being slaughtered. They don't have the military to meet it and fight it, and they're being slaughtered. And we know for a fact that the king of the north, Russia, will have an alliance with Iran in the tribulation. Evil, satanic Iran. And right now, Iran is evil and satanic. There are those that would have been trying to, they haven't got the military to overthrow the mullahs of Iran, and they're just being slaughtered and sacrificed. But when the tribulation occurs, the king of the north, Russia, will be aligned with Iran, and they will have a military so powerful nobody can stop them. Nobody except the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll stop them. But their objective is to carry out, they don't realize they're carrying out Satan's plan, but Satan's plan is to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. If he does so, he wins the angelic conflict. So we have the king of the North Russia allied with Iran. You have the kings of the East, communist China, which are an evil, evil nation as well. Their objective, they hate America. Their objective is to destroy America. And they are financing the protests that are going on in our nation right now, financed by China. Their objective is to destroy America. And then the kings of the South, the Pan-Arabic bloc, and the kings of the West, that's the revived Roman Empire. And Satan gets them all to come to the Middle East to destroy Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth. He won't succeed, but that is his plan. And this is a new opening here for how evil Iran is. Iran opens new front against Israel. The Israeli Security Agency, Shin Beth, recently foiled an attempt by Iran to smuggle large amounts of advanced weapons to Palestinian terrorists in Judea and Samaria, also known as the West Bank, to be used in attacks against targets in Israel. The smuggling operation demonstrates that Iran, after losing its proxies in Lebanon and Syria, is intensifying its efforts to open a new eastern terror front against Israel inside the West Bank by exploiting Israel's long and porous border with Jordan. A joint Shin Beth and IDF, Israel Defense Forces, statement said the agencies intercepted a shipment of Iranian weapons, including rocket launchers, anti-tank rockets, explosive-laden drones, rocket-propelled grenades, machine guns, assault rifles, handguns, and other items. The plot to smuggle balance-altering weapons into the West Bank was organized by Iran's Unit 4000. That is a special operations division of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, and another unit of the Revolutionary Guard Corps, Unit 18840, with special operations, a special operations unit inside Syria. The Israeli counterintelligence operation began when the IDF arrested an arms dealer in the Ramallah area of the West Bank. The Shin Beth said its interrogation of the dealer led the security agency to the smugglers and subsequently to the shipment itself. Similar operations had already been foiled in March and November 2024. It's entirely possible that large quantities of Iranian weapons are flooding into the West Bank undetected by Israeli security agencies. This shipment, like its predecessors, is part of an ongoing Iranian effort to undermine security in the region by arming terror cells on the ground, whose purpose is to carry out attacks against Israelis and IDF troops, the Shin Beth said in a statement. Iran began boosting its weapons smuggling efforts in the West Bank after Hamas terrorist cells there failed to carry out attacks on Israel in the immediate aftermath of the terror group's massacre of Israelis in October 2023. Tehran now seeks to flood the West Bank with Iranian weapons transshipped through Jordan to undermine the Israeli security. Now, Jordan is on Israel's side. Jordan signed a peace treaty with Israel in 1994. After Jordan increased the number of troops deployed along its border with Israel to prevent the smuggling of Iranian weapons, Iran intensified its efforts to destabilize the Jordanian monarchy. In May 2024, Jordan foiled an Iranian plot to smuggle weapons into the kingdom to help Hamas-allied Muslim Brotherhood cell there to carry out its acts of sabotage against the Jordanian monarchy. Meanwhile, Israel is building a state-of-the-art fence, a fence along its border with Jordan, to prevent Iranian infiltration and weapon smuggling. The project, which will cost around $1.5 billion and take 3 years to complete, will stretch approximately 250 miles from the Golan Heights south to Eilat. Middle East analyst Joe Trusman warned that although Iranian efforts to arm Palestinian terrorist groups in the West Bank are nothing new, the nature of the weapons now being smuggled is deeply troubling. Tehran is not only sending rifles and pistols, it's attempting to move advanced destabilizing systems that could transform the security landscape in the territory, he said. These are game-changing weapons capable of inflicting mass casualties against the IDF troops and the Israeli civilians. The Israeli security establishment has every reason to view Iran's renewed efforts to destabilize the West Bank with serious concern. Another Middle East expert, Seth Franzman, applauded Israel's foiling of Iran's plot to smuggle weapons into the West Bank as an important achievement. Iran has used this model in Gaza and Lebanon, he said, and now is trying to inflame the West Bank as well. This is going on right now. Iran is under the control of evil, evil forces and leaders. And yes, it's true, our president sent in some bombers to bomb certain areas of Iran, as did the Israelis, but they are still in power and still in operation. And there are a lot of people there that would love to overthrow these leaders. And right now they're being slaughtered, put to death, and they will not succeed. And don't think it's going to be a turnaround where they take over. They're not. This is an evil, evil leadership, but so is Russia, and Russia and Iran are allies and will join together in the King of the North's attack on the nation Israel in the tribulation. Well, we are in a book, Zechariah. It starts out with eight visions. And the first five visions are about a fantastic blessing. The last three visions are about horrific judgment. And the judgment in these visions has a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. The near fulfillment is in Zechariah's day. The far fulfillment is in the tribulation. And many of these things that are brought up, and especially in the eighth vision, the four chariots, are described in Revelation, what all of these four chariots represent. They all represent evil and judgment in the world at that time. That's the far fulfillment. So there's a near fulfillment in Zechariah's day, and there is a far fulfillment. So we have eight visions given to Zechariah in Zechariah 1, starting at verse 7 in chapter 1, all the way through chapter 8, verse 8. Vision number 1, rider on the red horse, chapter 1, 7 to 17. Vision number 2, four horns and four horn cutters, chapter 1, 18 to 21. Vision number 3, the surveyor, chapter 2. Vision number 4, Joshua the high priest, chapter 3. Vision number 5, the golden lampstand and two olive trees, chapter 4. And then in chapter 5, we have vision number 6 and vision number 7. We have vision number 6, the flying scroll, chapter 5, 1 to 4. Vision number 7, the flying ephah. So the flying scroll, chapter 5, 1 to 4, the flying ephah, chapter 5, 5 through 11. And then the last and final vision, chapters 6, 1 through, excuse me, chapter 6, 1 through 8. Me. Okay, pretty good. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, the final vision, the four chariots. So Zechariah's first five visions greatly encouraged and comforted the Jewish remnant returning from Persia and from Babylon. They revealed that the Lord would return to Jerusalem with mercy, grace, and action, give Israel victory over its enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ would be the wall of fire of protection, reestablish and enlarge Jerusalem, purify and reinstate Israel's high priest, Joshua, remove the mountain of opposition that had stopped the rebuilding of the temple, and assured the completion of the temple. That's the first five visions. However, the last three visions, number 6, 7, and 8, take an abrupt turn. Instead of foretelling blessing, they are a stern warning of judgment, of a curse because of degeneracy and reversionism. Before Israel could experience the blessings, the land had to be purged from individual and national degeneracy and reversionism. So we've exegeted verses 1 through 4. Vision number 6, it sounds like this. Then I turned once again and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, I saw a flying scroll. And he, the teaching angel, said to me, Zechariah, what do you see? So I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits, 30 feet. Its width is 10 cubits, 15 feet. And then he, the teaching angel, said to me, Zechariah, this is the curse, divine judgment, that is going out over the face of the whole earth. Because according to what it says on one side of the flying scroll, everyone who is a criminal, who steals, the criminal, will be banished, purged out. And according to what it says on the other side of the scroll, everyone who swears falsely will be banished and purged out. Verse 4, the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, declares, I am caused to send out a curse, divine judgment, and it will enter the house of the criminal and into the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. And the curse, the divine judgment, will remain in the midst of his house and destroy it, both its timbers and its stones. In verse 3, the eighth commandment, you shall not steal, is a mandate against crime. Being a thief, a criminal, means you have no respect for the privacy and the property and the life of others. When crime is rampant in a society, that will destroy the nation. And right now, crime is rampant in the United States of America. Crime is destroying the United States of America today. And these protesters that are attacking our ICE agents, they're funded by China. They are professional protesters funded by China. Evil, satanic to the core. Crime is destroying the United States of America today, and the liberals, the socialists, the communists, they condone crime, they're soft on crime, they even support crime. And they are a major part of the apostasy and degeneracy of Client Nation USA. Zechariah 5:3 declares that God's curse will fall on every thief, robber, criminal, murderer, those who break the eighth commandment. This curse is going out over the face of the whole earth. Zechariah 5:3, not only on the remnant of Jews that have returned to Israel, but specifically on those Jews who have refused to listen to Zechariah's warning in Zechariah 2:6-7 to get out of Babylon. Get out of Babylon now and get down to Judah, Jerusalem, so that you can worship the living and true God, the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ. In verse 3, breaking the third commandment, swearing falsely, is putting the spotlight on dishonest business practice. And this is why many Jews totally refuse to heed Zechariah's warning in Zechariah 2:6-7. And come back to Israel. They stayed in Babylon because God and the Word of God were not that important to them. Sad to say, but the same thing is true in America today. God and the Word of God is not that important to Christians in America today. The spiritual priorities of God and His Word were not important to them. The Jews in Babylon were worshiping the mighty dollar. Wealth, money. Money became their god, and as a result of dishonest business practice, the Jews in Babylon did not heed Zechariah's warning, just as believers today in Client Nation USA do not heed the Apostle Paul's warning in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. In the last days, and one of them, 2 Timothy 3, 2, we will be lovers of money. So they didn't want to go back to Judah because Jerusalem and the temple, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, meant nothing to them. They didn't want to leave Babylon because they were making lots and lots of money, dishonestly, making lots of money, living in beautiful homes, acquiring great estates. So they weren't about to go back to Jerusalem, where there was the temple, where there was the Shekinah glory, living in the Holy of Holies, the Lord Jesus Christ, where they could worship the living and true God. They didn't want to do that when they were living in great prosperity in the Mesopotamian Valley. These Jews were reversionists. God and His Word meant absolutely nothing to them. They are making fantastic fortunes, enjoying great pleasures, great social life, lots of friends, materialistic things, status symbols. But in verse 4, they will come under horrific divine judgment. In verse 4 again, the Lord of the armies declares, I am caused to send out a curse, divine judgment, and it will enter the house of the thief, the criminal, and into the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. And the curse, divine judgment, will remain in the midst of his house and destroy it, both its timbers and its stones. That means everything. This divine judgment came upon those Jews who violated the eighth commandment, you shall not steal, the criminal activity, and those who violated the third commandment, to swear falsely by the Lord's name. The Jews were well known for robbing pagan temples. These Jewish gangs entered idolatrous temples, stole all of the gold, silver, precious stones. These Jewish gangs made a fabulous fortune stealing from pagan temples in Babylon. Other Jews were making a fantastic fortune through dishonest business practices, swearing falsely in the Lord's name. They were making lots of money dishonestly, living in beautiful homes, acquiring great estates. They are going to be hit with horrific divine judgment, and they'll be hit where it hurts them the most. In verse 4, it says the house, and that refers to the details of life. Zechariah wrote this in 520 B.C., by 518 B.C., these Jews who stayed in Babylon will be totally destroyed. This is a warning about what is going to happen to them. The details of life, their great mansions, the millions of dollars are all going to be gone, gone, gone. And they will all be destroyed. So, one. In verse 4, God's curse moves throughout the Jewish household looking to apprehend offenders. In verse 4, God's curse moves throughout the Jewish household looking to apprehend offenders. Two, when an offender is found, he will be judged swiftly and severely. When an offender is found, he will be judged swiftly and severely. Three, even the offender's dwelling, their mansion has house, but they lived in mansions. Even the offender's dwelling, their mansion will be destroyed. Four, the curse, the divine judgment, will spend the night in the house of the guilty party. The curse, the divine judgment, will spend the night in the house of the guilty party, even consuming the materials that the house was built with, timbers and stones. Even consuming the materials that the house was built with, timbers and stone. Five, the message in this sixth vision is that God will judge all reversionism, both by those who remained in Babylon and those reversionists of the returning remnant. The message in this sixth vision is that God will judge all reversionism, both by those who remained in Babylon. They didn't listen to Zechariah when he said, "Get out! Get out now! Get out of Babylon and get down here to Judah, Jerusalem." Why? So you can worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ. The temple is rebuilt. The Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, is dwelling in the Holy of the Holies. Now you can put your spiritual priorities, number one, God and His Word, number one. When you put God and His Word number one, then God pours out the most fantastic blessings. But when you are in reversionism and you have no interest in God or His Word, God will discipline you, and the Lord, those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And they are going to be clobbered, these reversionists. So the message in this sixth vision is that God will judge all reversionism, both by those who remained in Babylon and those reversionists of the returning remnant. Six, no Israelites will be able to conceal their reversionism, nor will they escape God's judgment. No Israelites will be able to conceal their reversionism, nor will they be able to escape God's judgment. Seven, those with wrong priorities, those with wrong priorities, putting the details of life ahead of God and ahead of the Word of God, will destroy themselves and their families. Those with wrong priorities, putting the details of life ahead of God and ahead of the Word of God, will destroy themselves and their families. And point eight, and especially the spotlight in our passage is on those who steal, criminals, and those who swear falsely, dishonest business practices. Nine, God's judgment will remain on both the house and the family of all who continue in their reversionism. God's judgment will remain on both the house and the family of all who continue in their reversionism until they are totally destroyed. That's the warning of vision number six. See, the first five visions was all encouragement and blessing, but now the last three, six, seven, and eight, is God's judgment. So now we go from vision number six and verses 1-4 to vision number seven. Zechariah 5:5-11. Vision number seven. This is the vision of the woman in the ephah, or the vision of the flying ephah. So we had a flying scroll in vision number six. Now we have a flying ephah, vision number seven. Zechariah 5:5. Starts out, and we always start with the King James. Then the angel who talked with me went forth and said to me. We have the conjunction vav prefixed to the cal imperfect of yatsah, plus the noun malak with the definite article, plus the cal active participle of daver, plus the preposition bath with the first person singular suffix, plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the cal imperfect of amer, plus the preposition el with the first person singular suffix. The conjunction vav may be, it's a transitional vav. And the transitional vav may be translated and, or moreover, or now, or then. And we're going to translate it then. Transitional vav, then. And then we have our old friend, Ha Malak. He's been through all these visions because he's the teaching angel for Zechariah. Ha Malak. And that's Malak is angel, the teaching angel. And then we have Hadover be. Hadover comes from the verb daver, which is to say, to speak, to teach. And you have here the one who was talking to me, the one who was speaking to me, the one who was teaching me. And then we have the verb yatsah. Y-A-T-S-A, Aleph. Yatsah. And yatsah means to go out, to come out, to go forth, to come forth. And the conversive, how we have a conversive vav with it, and the conversive vav converts the imperfect into a perfect. and therefore you would translate it, came forward. Came forward. So the conversive of converts the imperfect to a perfect, and it's translated came forward. And then we have vayomer eli. Vayomer with the verb amer to communicate, to say. And he said eli to me. To me is Zechariah. Then the angel, the teaching angel who was talking to me, who was teaching me, came forward and said to me, Zechariah, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. Now I can see why he would have to lift up his eyes. He's been all night with getting eight visions all night long. He hasn't slept. I'd have to lift up my eyes, you know, because I was here all night long studying. But lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. We have the cal imperative of nasa, plus the interjection na, plus a dual of ayin. And you see, you can get, I know you can know ayin because it sounds like I. See, you can get that one. Ayin, I, but it's in the plural or it's in the dual. Guess why it's in the dual? Unless you're Cyclops, you have two, see? The dual of ayin with the second person singular masculine suffix plus the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal imperative of ra'ah, plus the interrogative pronoun ma, plus the demonstrative pronoun zeh, and the cal active participle of yatsah once again. All right, now the interjection na. The interjection na, N-A aleph, na. The interjection na is correctly translated now. And then we have our old friend nasa. N-A-S-A aleph, nasa. So, a couple of things. First of all, literally, nasa means to lift up, or to lift up. Two, with the dual of ayin, A-Y-I-N. Ayin. Ayin is the word for eye. The dual is eyes. With the dual of ayin, eyes, it means to look up. So literally it means to lift or to lift up. With the dual of ayin, it means to look up. Three, the imperative mood. This is a command. Four, with the imperative of ra'ah, look up and see. Ra'ah, to see. So nasa, to look up, and ra'ah, to see. The pronoun ma, M-A-H, pronoun ma is what? And then we have the demonstrative pronoun ze, Z-E-H, ze. And ze is the demonstrative pronoun this, what this thing is. And then the cal active participle yatsah, and this is literally going forth. What this thing is going forth. And going forth means it's flying. So corrected translation. Then the angel, the teaching angel, who was talking to me, Zechariah, came forward and said to me, Zechariah, Now look up and see what this is going forth. And what this is going forth is a flying ephah. So one, Yahshua going forth tells us that something is flying. Yahshua going forth tells us that something is flying. Two, in the sixth vision we had the flying scroll. Three, now in the seventh vision we have the flying ephah. In verse 5, the teaching angel commands Zechariah to look up and identify something. Zechariah saw the vision, but he didn't understand it. So now, in verses 6 through 11, the teaching angel will explain the vision. Verse 6, and I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth, a flying ephah. Not something you see every day. And why you say, well, what's an ephah? It's a huge, huge basket. And you don't see a flying basket very often. But this is a flying basket. We have the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal imperfect of amer, plus the interrogative pronoun ma, joined by a makef to the pronoun he, plus the cal imperfect of amer, plus the demonstrative pronoun ze once again, plus the noun epha. See, even we transliterated epha and the Hebrew word epha with a definite article, plus the cal-active participle of yatsah. The conjunction vav is a conversive vav, converting the imperfect of amer into a perfect. So amer means to say, to speak, to talk. However, in a question, it's correctly translated to ask. So we have, and I asked, because the imperfect has been converted into a perfect. And I asked, mahi. Mahi, ma is what? He is it. What is it? Second use of Amer is the teaching angel's reply to Zechariah's question. And he replied. He replied, Zoth ha'ephah. This is the ephah. Cal-active participle of Yahshua. This is the ephah that is Yahshua-ing. It is going forth. It is flying. So, corrected translation. And I asked, what is it? And he, the teaching angel, replied, this is the ephah that is going forth. It is the flying ephah. Not something you see every day. So, one. In this seventh vision, we have a near fulfillment in Zechariah's day and a far fulfillment in the tribulation. So in this seventh vision, we have a dual fulfillment, the near fulfillment in Zechariah's day and a far fulfillment in the tribulation. Two, the ephah is a 7.5 gallon bucket. Or basket. Bucket or basket? Bucket. It's got a lead lid on it, so we better make it a bucket and not a basket. It will crush it. The ephah was a 7.5 gallon bucket. Three, it was a dry measure for grain. And this will help you understand. It contains three siyas or 10 omers. Did that help you out? I didn't think so. Four, this is the largest grain measure in existence. The largest grain measure in existence. Five, the Jews cornered the grain market in Babylon. They cornered the grain market in Babylon. They were making lots and lots of money. Six, they sold their grain on the basis of the 7.5 gallon ephah, which the Babylonians did not have, but the Jews did. They sold their grain on the basis of the 7.5 gallon ephah, which the Babylonians did not have, but the Jews did. Seven, the ephah represents part of the Jewish wealth in Babylon. And this is, you're going to see this in the far fulfillment, because all it's about in the tribulation is making money. Making money, making money, making money. And here's a part of the far fulfillment. It's reversionism, it's evil, and it's the prostitute in Revelation that rides the beast. And all of the waters, we're going to see when we get to that chapter in Revelation 7, all the nations of planet Earth are doing business with the prostitute, making lots and lots of money. That's the far fulfillment. So the Mesopotamian Valley was farming country. This is the near fulfillment. Eight, these Jews are making a lot of money, but they are being warned by Zechariah, get out of Babylon. Get out of Babylon. Get back to Israel. Get back to Jerusalem. Get back to the temple. Get back to where the living and true God, the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, is dwelling in the Holy of Holies. So these Jews are making lots and lots of money, but they are being warned by Zechariah, get out of Babylon. Get back to Israel. Come back to Judah, Jerusalem, where the temple is, where the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, is dwelling in the Holy of Holies. Nine, get your priorities straightened out. Get your priorities straightened out. God and His Word have to be number one. Not the details of life, not money. So Zechariah, warning, get your priorities straightened out. God and His Word have to be number one. Not the details of life, not money. 10. All your money and wealth will do you absolutely no good. All your money and wealth will do you absolutely no good. 11. The details of life that you buy with your money will do you no good. It's going to come to a screeching halt. Judgment. The details of life that you buy with your money will do you no good. It's going to come to a screeching halt. The Jews have cornered the grain market, and they're making lots and lots of money in Babylon. This is the near fulfillment. This is the near fulfillment. There's a dual fulfillment. Near fulfillment in Zechariah's day. Far fulfillment in the tribulation. 12. The ephah represents the great monetary success of the Jews. The ephah represents the great monetary success of the Jews. Right now we're looking at the near fulfillment, but we'll go to Revelation chapter 7 and see the far fulfillment. The prostitute riding the beast, the Antichrist, at least for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, and then the Antichrist will nuke the prostitute, and it's done. And all of the people making all this money are crying. Oh, they see the mushroom cloud. Oh, crying. Because ecumenical religious system has been nuked by the Antichrist. That's the far fulfillment. We'll look at the far fulfillment. Right now we're in the near fulfillment. So the ephah represents the great monetary success of the Jews. 13. The ephah also represents the great iniquity and reversionism of the Jews. The ephah also represents the great iniquity and reversionism of the Jews. And then verse 6 goes on and is continued. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. Now you might not know what that is saying in the King James, but it's pretty powerful. We have the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal imperfect of amer, plus the demonstrative pronoun zeh, plus ayin in the singular with the third person plural masculine suffix, plus the preposition base prefix to the noun kol, plus the noun eretz with the definite article, the whole earth. The conjunction vav is a transitional vav and may be correctly translated and, then, now, or moreover. This time, we will translate it moreover. Moreover, it is also a conversive vav, converting the imperfect of Amer into a perfect. The teaching angel is now adding to his explanation of the vision. So, Amar is correctly translated. Moreover, he added. And then we have the demonstrative pronoun zeh. Oh, get back there. There it is. There's zeh right there. Is zeh. Zeh is this. This is. And then we have ayin again. Ayin repeated, but it's in the singular this time. Singular. I. And then we have with I-N, the third person plural masculine suffix, literally their eye, singular, literally their eye. Or, for example, or their appearance, specifically their reversionism. Their eye, their appearance, specifically their reversionism, b'kol ha'aretz, throughout the entire earth. And I asked, what is it? And he, the teaching angel, replied, this is the ephah that is going forth, the flying ephah. Moreover, he added, this is their eye. This is their appearance. This is the reversionism of the people throughout the entire earth. Well, we'll stop there, but we'll pull that all together next time, next week. We're just getting warmed up here. Yeah. And we're looking, there's near fulfillment. Zechariah wrote this in 520 B.C., in 518 B.C., those Jews that said, no, we're not coming back to Judah. We're not coming to Jerusalem. We're not going to come where we can worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ, and get the teaching of the Word of God. We are going to stay in Babylon. We're making lots and lots of money. By 518 B.C., those who stayed, and all of their money and all their mansions was totally destroyed and gone. That's the near fulfillment. Far fulfillment will be in the tribulation period. And we will see that next week. I think we'll get to it next week. Revelation chapter 7. And see the far fulfillment of this. So it's pretty powerful. And to see the near fulfillment, and exactly what's going on in Zechariah's day is going to go on multiplied all over the world in the tribulation with the prostitute ecumenical religious system. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.